Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. Join with us as God's people sing about the glory of God. How majestic is your name! Today's message is entitled, You Have It. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 to 30. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What will you give me if I betray him to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Where do you want us to make the preparation to eat the Passover? Jesus said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they came to him greatly distressed, and began to say to him one after the other, Surely not I, Lord. Jesus answered, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus replied, You have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took the loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Amen. I remember them so well. They always tried to sit at the same table. They were quiet people. He was friendly, but not a public speaker. Basil and Lida Rose always came to the Wednesday night suppers there at our church. Basil then was in his late 70s when we met. Somehow our paths usually crossed on those Wednesday nights. When I saw them in the room, I made it a point to go over to his table for a few minutes, and we always had a good visit, and sometimes, though, we'd stand against the wall while the evening program was going on and just sort of talk. He was a master carpenter and a furniture maker, and I wanted to learn from him. But I guess, except for those family night suppers, I rarely really saw Basil and his wife. Several years ago, Basil's daughter called me to tell me that her daddy had died, and she said, I know Daddy would want you to do his funeral because he loved you. Basil was then in his 90s, and it had been at least 7 or 8 years since I'd even seen him. He was such a dear man and had such an incredible passion for his craft. He often told me about his workshop, and he said, please come by and see it. You know, somehow I was always too busy. But what I didn't know was that Basil's workshop would rival any master carpenter shop in town. And after his death, I did go by, and what an incredible shop. At his funeral, the soloist was singing Amazing Grace. My mind began to recall those family night suppers. You know, we spent a lot of time and money making sure there was always a good program after dinners. You know, it was kind of a silly thing to do. I realize now the most important thing that happened on those nights was the fellowship around those tables. Often just about the time the fellowship got going so good, we stopped everyone and made sure they looked up in front to watch some kind of program that was good, but often no one was really interested. Basil and I had become good friends, just sharing a meal together and standing against the wall talking about his craft. Good friends, I must confess that I hadn't realized that those times had meant enough to him that he would honor me by asking me to share in his funeral. Well, our lesson is about a meal. Matthew said it was the Passover meal. You must remember that it was a meal that commemorated the time when God delivered the Hebrew people from bondage under the Pharaoh in Egypt. The meal had to be held in a special place, and the meat had to be lamb. Now remember, only the priest could make the sacrificial and ceremonial killing of the lambs. Matthew teaches us that Judas went to the priest to make a deal to hand over Jesus to them. He asked the priest, "What will you give me for him?" He meant, "How much money will you give me?" Of course, they said 30 pieces of silver. Why 30 pieces of silver, and not 10 or 20 or 100? You know, when I researched to find out why 30 pieces, I must tell you, my heart hurt when I found out the answer. You see, 30 pieces was what was chosen to be the cost to buy a slave who was injured, or to buy a lamb who was injured. It comes from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Now, there are other references to 30 pieces of silver in the Old Testament. The one common meaning to them is that they all meant that they are a paltry sum for whatever reason. This was already an insult to Jesus. Judas did everything in secret. Then I ask the question, how did Jesus know that it was Judas who was going to betray him? You know, in a very subtle way, Matthew leaves us the best clue. Remember Jesus said, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." You see, at this Passover meal, there were very specific orders about how things would be done and who should be present and where they would sit. The master or the leader always went first. As Jesus put his hand into the herbs and spices, Judas ignored Jesus and put his hand in at the same time. You see, not only was this disrespectful, but it also showed that Judas did not respect the authority of Jesus nor who he was. I think it must have been an extraordinarily painful experience for Jesus, not just because Judas was going to betray him. That's cause enough. No, I think it was because this was the last few hours of his life and he ate a meal with his closest friends. And you see, Jesus yearned for that fellowship. He yearns for a relationship with you and me. When he said someone was going to betray him, they all said, "Well, is it I?" Now, there's really a better translation of that. It means more like, "Well, surely you don't think I would do something like that." And you know, Judas said it the loudest. Now, Matthew really does not tell us what happened next, except that Jesus took the loaf of bread and he prayed over it. He lifted it up and he gave thanks. And when he gave it to his disciples, including Jesus, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, Jesus spoke these words in Aramaic, and here's a very important point. In Aramaic, there really is no word for body. That is, a physical human body, like there is, you know, in English or Hebrew or Greek. No, the word means more like, "This is my whole self." Not just my physical body. It's my emotions, my joys, my hopes, my dreams, my fears. I'm offering all of me to you. Now, I want you to think about some things. Recall how often Jesus used the setting of a meal to teach us about things and about offering himself. Remember how angry the priests and the Pharisees got with him because he ate with sinners? You know what? They were not angry because he spoke with them or debated with them. It was because he had a meal with them. You remember he ate with Zacchaeus, the tax collector? It changed Zacchaeus' life. And without any notice from Jesus, Zacchaeus returned all that he had taken extra from anyone. He did not just return the original amount, but some got 2 to 4 to 10 times the amount that he had taken. He fed 5,000 people on one occasion. Now, these were not all poor and hungry people. I think, in a way, even then he was offering himself. It was a kind of Last Supper. Can you imagine Jesus set out to bring the world closer to God? He brought salvation to an unsaved world, and as far as we know, he never built a church. He had nothing published, and he had no enforcement agency. And everywhere he went, he fought century-old traditions, and he fought cultural segregation, and he was always on foot. Jesus taught the meaning of the Scriptures, but friends, more importantly, he lived what the Scriptures meant. It was the way he lived his life that took him to the cross. He offered himself as evidence of God's redeeming love. You know, we really do not know why Judas betrayed Jesus. There's a lot of scholarly debate, but the truth is, we just don't know. At best, we can say that Judas tried to change Jesus. He headed backwards. Jesus was offering change to him, and Judas couldn't handle it. I remember at Basil's funeral, some person stood and spoke a word about this little man who had virtually no assets, no possessions, other than his workshop, where he, for years, was making and fixing things for people for free. They said he influenced their lives because of his kindness, because of his smile, because of his honesty and integrity, and his generosity. They said it was the way he lived his faith that caused them to consider the way they lived their lives. You know, I thought, how is it possible for a man who lived 20 centuries after the resurrection to let Christ change his life, when a man like Judas, who was there, it couldn't even see it? I remember reading a line from M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. Dr. Peck said, "Every single person has the power to change the course of human history." Every single person has the power to change the course of human history. Judas tried to change it for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus gave his life. Good friends, I want to remind you that you can change history where you are right now for good. Just begin by offering your life to Christ. Amen.
Savior is waiting to enter. Dear friend, there is a spiritual hunger in the world today. People long to find God and meaning and joy for their lives. The person who has found Christ and reflects Christ in his or her life becomes a magnet. Others see that your life is different. They want to know what you have found. Isn't it wonderful that when you find Jesus, you find God? And the purpose of genuine Christians in this world today is to help others meet Jesus. Dear listener, give yourself to Christ and then help others to know him. If you are not winning others to Christ, Christ has not really won you. The Christian is not in the business of winning arguments, but of winning people. If we do not evangelize, we will evaporate. May God bless you as you tell others how wonderful Jesus is. And then we invite you to write us. Our address is Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. We look forward to hearing from you this week. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.